When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I'd hate to see you waiting.
I'm trying to get in Tommy's brain. And like, high hopes could refer to anything, but I'm specifically thinking it refers to our Milwaukee Bucks and their hopes to win the NBA Cup.
Yeah.
Starts tonight, 6 p.m. on TNT. The injury-ravaged Orlando Magic are in Milwaukee. Orlando's two best players are on the shelf for quite some time. I think the Bucks coming off their win Sunday afternoon in Brooklyn, this could be a good spot for the Bucks to sneak out a win and get to Vegas and make that Final Four in the NBA Cup.
Let's go to Vegas.
Oh, I like that live show from Vegas. All right,
it'd be Saturday, Tuesday, I believe, are the games. So if we went, we'd have to get there by Saturday midday or so.
This week?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh my gosh, it happens.
It's NBA
fast.
Cup, okay. Bro. Let's go.
All right, I'm in. All right, let's go. Right.
I have no idea if our guest is an NBA guy, if he's aware that the Milwaukee Bucks are in the NBA Cup. Well, he knows now. Joining us now, number 59 in our program, number one in our hearts.
You like how I do that?
Wow. Yeah, that was nice.
Green Bay Packers champion linebacker. He is Brad Jones. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Fantastic to be on the show. Thank you for that warm, warm introduction.
You bet. It's great to have you here, and thanks for taking some time this morning. As we like to say on the show, any friend of Mason is a friend of all of ours.
Brad, are we friends?
I think we are best friends.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Brad. That's kind of where I wanted to go first, though, is I want to talk about kind of your beginnings. You grew up there in like around Detroit in Michigan, went to East Lansing High School. And then why didn't you end up a Michigan guy? Why didn't you go to Michigan or Michigan State? How did you end up in Colorado?
You know what? That's a story I don't tell much. Yeah. So again, all true. I am from Michigan area, mid-Michigan area, closer to Lansing, the capital, but, Detroit, Lansing, and Grand Rapids, kind of the big ones. I got out of high school. Again, I was, I guess, pretty highly touted. For me, I wanted to get as far away from home as possible. That sounds horrible. And to my parents, if you're listening, I apologize.
Well, your parents are great. Some of my favorite people ever.
Yeah. That was it. I think I was 17 years old and wanted to be, wanted to get I think as far away from home, not in a malicious way, just as far away from home as possible. Gary Barnett, obviously our coach at Colorado, did a terrific job of recruiting me. I mean, nice. An incredible, incredible job. The coaching staff of Gary Barnett and Mike Hankwitz over at the Colorado. Yeah, Hankwitz, the team that we had. They were incredible. They knew me. They understood that, academics were important for me. I think I had lunch with the the Nobel laureate that headed the physics department or something like that.
Do you hear that, guys? I've been telling these. Yeah, you know, I was like, he chose Colorado because of the education.
There is no surprise to me that the Nobel laureate was hanging out in Boulder.
How many physics classes did you take with Mason in college, Brad?
We took at least 19 together.
19. Thank you.
19
see,
was the exact number.
Exactly. Well, that was the minimum at Colorado. Like they told you, you have to at least do 19, or you can't. You're going to be dismissed from school.
Got
like
it.
Everybody had to. Yes,
they did. They did. It was either that 19 physics, astrophysics, or you could do an addendum of at least 15 electrical engineering.
Mason cannot spell addendum.
Addendum. No way. I love it.
ADUDUDMDM.
Oh, so good. Yeah, so what are you thinking of our Buffs now? I know we saw each other last year, you know, back at an alumni weekend and, you know, spring game stuff. So what are you thinking of this Buffs team? They're heading to the Alamo Bowl and, you know, what Deion has done there.
Yeah, I am a fan. Again, I love Colorado. I loved my time there. But I am a fan. I think more holistically of what Deion brings to college football in general and the change that's happened. I do think, and I guess we'll get a little philosophical here, but I do think that historically in college football, and as you know, Mason, is that the bad word of it all was the monetary compensation.
Yeah.
It was this big elephant, 300-pound gorilla in the room that the universities are making, you know, astronomical amounts of dollars from not only name, image, and likeness, but TV revenue rights. And you could never speak about that as a player.
Exactly.
And I think that change is a change in the money that is associated with the game. And de facto, the rate or the introspection that a coach can give to his players, say, hey, you're not performing up to a certain level, and because of that, I would like you to leave. I don't think that's bad for the game. And again, that's a hot take, but I don't think it's bad for the game. I think it creates a much more professional atmosphere. We can't, you know, instead of saying, hey, just sign on and hang around here, you say, hey, this program is going to make $150 million this year. We need you to compete at a level that is commensurate with whatever compensation we're going to give you. I don't think it's bad. I think it creates competition. I think it makes it much more high stakes, and it doesn't create this like disincentive or this, I guess, not aligned incentives where coaches are making X amount of dollars, players are making, you know, no dollars. And then, you know, there's a vector of let me try to get this kid to, you know, avoid school as much as possible while not being compensated and destroy his future. I do think it eliminates not all of that, but it eliminates some of that. And I like that. Again, I think it's a hotter take, but I like that. I like that idea that it's all out.
I agree. I agree. I mean, whenever we were playing, it was just like, it was NCAA, you know, the schools, everyone, the conferences making so much money. But like you said, you couldn't, it was like a secret. It was we can't talk about this. And like, you know, if a player ever like, you know, even sniffed at saying something or acting like they deserve to have any piece of that pie, it was just like, ooh, gosh, yeah, that's, we can't do that.
Right. And that was so interesting to me, especially because, I mean, you remember we would go, you know, we would go down to the, you know, the Target and then we would buy NCAA football and it would be our faces on the players and, you know, our mannerisms, our movements. And it was like, you know, we're spending $60 or $100, which is
exactly out of our scholarship check that we had to stretch to make for a month.
Yeah, 10% of our stipend for that month to go play as a
worth
video
every
game
penny.
Character. Yeah, yeah, video game gear that is wrapped in your likeness. And you remember.
Well, I'm going to, I'm going to move us now to the professional game and your time there in Green Bay. And obviously, this is a big week. sensitive week at times whenever we go and play at Seattle. So this Packers team's going to Seattle. I've been talking about it for the last couple days. You know, what going to Seattle feels like, what it's like, and some of the moments that you were a part of, that we've been a part of, you know, together out there. Unfortunately, those moments in Seattle were pretty bad in that 2014 season.
There's some pain.
There's some pain that is associated. So I want our listeners to hear your perspective, because you know they hear me talk about some of these moments and things like that. But your perspective, let's just dive into the NFC Championship game and what that felt like and what that was. And I want to specifically talk about the fake extra or fake field goal that they ran and why they ran that fake. If you remember all the little like clues and things that they got and why they ran that fake against us against Seattle.
They literally looked across the sideline, saw that Slocum was such a joke, and realized it would work so easy.
It was kind of that, but I mean, it was because of Brad Jones. So do you remember this, Brad? Why they ran that fake?
I do remember it vaguely. I don't remember their explanation. I guess I was a little unique in the respect that I didn't read any news hits or comments. I never watched news reviews.
You just read books and articles, research articles.
It just, for me, it could get in your head. Anyway, you know, you start concentrating on what people are saying, and then. But I do remember the explanation was that, you know, essentially, Slocum would send me if I was lined up. The blitz would always come from my side. I was the one who's going to go. And I believe, again, they saw me lined up and us lined up in the formation. And then, I think they audibled to it maybe or something.
They did,
or maybe it was planned. That was it. That was it, which was a horrible feeling. Just a horrible feeling because, I thought we had a really good team. I thought we had a shot.
We did.
A shot at going back, and that was, that was devastating. That was devastating, that game. It was a devastating game. I think also is that Seattle Stadium, and Mace, it really is loud.
It's crazy.
Chaotically loud, like, shakes your body loud. The 12th man, their fans are genuinely incredible, and that stadium echoes, and you feel it when you're on the field.
Well, I feel like, and then in that game, we had kind of like shut them up a little bit. Like it was eerie on the sideline. We're, kind of trying not to get excited, but it's like, man, we have quieted this crowd. And then as they came roaring back, there were about six plays in that game that if one of them doesn't happen, we win. And they executed six plays, I would say, that just turned the tide. And that last, field goal that I hit to tie it and like the last drive of that game, I had never heard a place that loud in my life. It was ridiculous. And we let them right back. And the rest was history. Hard one to lose. So many things in that moment that hurt. But let's talk now. I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing now, as well as you've kind of moved on from playing ball. You have a company that you are trying to do investment opportunities for clean energy technology companies. Is that correct? There in Boston.
Yes.
And Mitch is a Boston guy, just so you know. So he'll have a question for you here as well.
Where do you live in Boston? And are you becoming a Boston sports fan? All those good things. Yeah.
So we actually moved out of Boston. We're actually in New York now. We're in the city.
Well, that's where Tommy. Tommy's a big Yankee fan.
Big Yankee guy.
I just, we spent years in Boston, I was in New York City every other weekend, and it really made sense to move the whole office there. So we're in New York now, but I loved my time in Boston. So to give you the background, so I am the managing partner of Standard Normal. It's a hedge fund. It's really a family of funds, three funds across venture, hedge, I guess two separate hedge funds. And yeah, again, I got, when I got done, I wound up heading up to Harvard for grad school, and then from there got poached by a private equity firm, Bay Hills Capital out in San Fran, and worked for them very briefly before thinking that it made sense to spin up my own shop. And so bounced back over to Boston, spun up, you know, Standard Normal with some seed capital. And yeah, that was 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. So yeah, it's obviously it's been, you know, it's essentially just like football. I say that, and I know people maybe tilt their heads, but it is a similar thing. It is, you know, essentially a wild spread of dynamics between interpersonal and performance dynamics that you're constantly trying to balance, and you're constantly trying to balance those across all your employees. Well, you know, again, we're a quantitative fund, so you know, most of what we do is built in.
A lot of big words here, guys.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
I'm way too dumb for this.
No, well, I'm just kidding. So, I told you Brad was way smarter than I am.
He's smarter than the three of us combined.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Easily.
No, not at all. We use complex math to do things, to trade stuff online you know, across the markets. And anyway, yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, we've grown from obviously myself in a basement in Cambridge to, to you know, a seven-man shop with a few hundred million dollars in AUM, and we manage that. And that is, you know, that is what I love to do. You know, it's the new game after football. It was, you know, probably the only thing that could give me the same feeling that football did.
Kind of give you that engaged. Juice, yeah.
Yeah, where you're fully engaged, and, you know, it really takes a severe commitment from your life to perform in the upper echelons. And yeah, again, it's stressful, but I love it. I love every single day of it. And Mason knows some of this, so.
Well, I love like that's you awesome. you have problem to solve. You have something to attack. Like, that is as a you know, professional athlete, you go in every day with structure, and it's like, here are your goals, here are your objectives, like, attack this, like, guard against your weaknesses, all of that.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, you're done with that, and it's like, now what? And they say, like, oh, you know, just go and do this mundane thing, or all of, you know, just go get a job, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, you going and attacking this, I can see, you know, and knowing you, it's just like, it does. It kind of fills that mindset and you know, that competitive nature and trying to be the best at something, like you had forever on the field. And that's every guy I have on the show here, I'm trying to always showcase and make sure everyone knows, like, obviously what, like, excellent people they, you know, all of y'all are, other than just like the number and the guy on the football field, guys seeking, doing amazing things, you know, trying to make the world a better place, you know, even if it's just in their own bubble. But you know, you're obviously trying to reach this you know, awesome energy crisis, and you know, I love hearing about what you're doing. It's always really fascinating to me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I try to say that, and again, making, I mean, you know, all these things, is that, you know, the skills that we, you know, that are garnered from, like, let's say, an extended life in football, professional football specifically, or even professional sports, those skills are directly translatable to post-career. Like, they are one-to-one keys to success for a post-career life. Like, the ability to, you know, handle adversity, the ability to spin up when you, you know, fall down emotionally, you know, physically or mentally, and being able to be resilient beyond, you know, with like complex acrobatic failures, being able to be resilient against those. It is impossible to get some of, you know, get that experience in really any other field outside of, I mean, not any other field, but it's hard to get that experience outside of, you know, very, very, very competitive athletics. And so I enjoyed my time. And plus, got to hang out with Mason, people like you, you know?
See, exactly.
The best.
It's Just in the weight room. We were just in the weight room all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get Tommy started.
All right, these guys, Mitch, I think Mitch and Tommy have one question for you, and then we'll cut you loose.
Yeah. Brad Jones joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show here live on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Brad, I'm looking at Wikipedia. There's not a lot of football players from Lansing, Michigan, which I think is a little surprising to me, seeing that the university is there and Big Ten country. You know, growing up, do you recall others from Lansing? And the one that popped out to me is actually the starting quarterback for the Cowboys last night. Cooper Rush went to Lansing Catholic. Is there kind of a dearth of talent from Lansing in general?
Actually, me and Cooper Rush did a football camp this past summer in Lansing, Michigan.
I love that.
Myself, Cooper, Musin Muhammad, from Lansing.
Wide receiver for the Panthers, sure.
Yeah, and then the tackle for the Panthers as well. His name escapes me right now.
He was just a tackle. We don't need to, you know.
Oh, okay. But dearth of talent, I don't know. I'm just surprised
there's no big, like, and, like, there are guys who've played in the league, for sure. I'm just surprised that there's no, like, guys
it's
who like
it's not a pipeline
right to Michigan or to Michigan State. All right, next question. Did you play in Super Bowl 45? I know you were on the team. Did you see action in that game?
No, so I was a starting outside linebacker, and then I broke my shoulder.
You were one of the 47 guys who was on the injured list that year.
I was. It was bittersweet, you know, because you start all the season and then you have to watch, you know, the person who...
Zombo, guy or something.
Yeah, Zombo. The next stop, you had to watch it. And so it was bittersweet Zombo. For me. I mean, I loved it. I loved the Super Bowl, but, you know, you would have... It wish to, you know, to play in the game.
So where did you watch from?
The sideline.
And where's your ring?
My ring is in a case at my parents' house.
Nice. All right, Tommy, what do you got?
Yeah, Brad, producer Tommy here. I won't use any words to try to impress you like dearth during my question, but really wanted to get this one out here.
It's a big one.
just means lack of. I know dearth. All right. Brad, you're actually a part of like one of the most important and memorable games in Packer history, and I'm not talking about the 2014 Seattle game. I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the Matt Flynn game where he threw for 480 yards and the shootout against Detroit. You familiar with it?
Six touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah.
I am. I am familiar with that.
According to Wikipedia, you had a sack in that game. That's a big day, right? And then on top of it, you also decked a fan who ran out onto the field. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What goes through your mind when you're trying to do that?
When you see a fan come,
You know, what was break it down. Honestly, and I don't think I've said this, maybe ever, what was honestly going through my mind was that it was freezing. And Mason knows.
Stop delaying this game.
Mason knows that we're sitting on the sideline and there's heated benches and air and seats, and we're trying to stay as warm as possible. And then once you have to throw off your coat and get in, if you're not moving, it is obliteratingly cold. And I was pissed off. I was mad. And I think someone was next to me. I can't remember if it was JB, Jared Bush, or someone else. And they just said, this is horrible. Like, so we got to get him off. And then everyone looked at me and they said, Brad, you got to get him off.
You got to get him.
Half a joke. And I thought, I'm going to get him off.
I got this.
And that was it. That was amazing. Get the game started more quickly. That was it.
I love that.
Did you kind of hold back, or did you just full force, like, this was anger when you had to go hit this guy?
No, I held back. I just didn't realize he was so light. You know, when I grabbed him, I was like, oh, my God.
So I picked him up.
And I was like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, this is horrible.
Well, he's amped up in the middle of a game, hitting like linemen and like tackling running backs, and then a normal person running on the field, and you're just like, oh my gosh, he's a child.
Exactly. And actually, we still follow. I follow him on Instagram. He's an artist now.
Wow, that's amazing. That's so awesome. That's so Brad Jones.
That is Brad Jones.
We used to send messages back and forth. I always wished him well. I think I may have bought a few of his paintings. But yeah,
awesome, Brad.
I love it.
So Brad, are you an NBA guy? Do you know what basketball is?
I know what basketball is. I've heard of it, but
you've heard of
I'm
it.
Not
okay.
A huge, yeah, not a huge NBA fan. If I'm
okay. So we have a big NBA Cup game tonight. Magic are coming to the Bucks. I don't know. Are you? I can't remember. Are you a soccer guy?
Not a huge okay. soccer guy.
So you're just you're just a hedge fund making money guy now.
I'm a true hedge fund manager.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't do much outside of looking at the numbers. But I watch the Packers and I'll watch Colorado. That's about it.
Well, awesome, man. So I'm going to hit you with one quick one.
Sure.
Favorite other linebacker teammate, AJ Hawk or Clay Matthews?
Oh, come on. That's not fair. I just talked to both of them.
I know. I baited you on that one. You can just say both. I know they're both your favorite. They're good friends of yours.
Well, AJ's big time now. He's hanging out with McAfee, and he's like, he sits there and nods a lot.
AJ's the best.
Both of them are doing fantastic stuff.
Well, I actually, just to say, I got your number. I didn't have your number for some reason. I got it from Clay. So just tell him thanks, or don't give my number out again if you don't want him to be passing your number out to jump on radio shows. But, Brad, I appreciate you coming on, man. It was awesome catching
up. Thank you, Brad.
Okay. No, awesome, guys. Thank you so much for the invite. Anytime.
All
that was
right.
awesome.
Appreciate
Brad,
you, Brad.
Brad Jones, Super Bowl champion with our Green Bay Packers, also Colorado Buffalo, and just like, man about like, smart dude.
And my
makes
best
us,
friend.
Makes us yes. look good. And because Brad and Mason are the two best friends that anyone could have.
See, did you see? He built me up, guys. He is a true friend.
I understand why you wanted him on today. Yeah.
He didn't tear me down, Tommy.
He was great. He was great. He was very smart. I was not ready for him to be that smart.
I told you. I wasn't joking. He is He is super intelligent.
Did he say Harvard? Did he say Harvard? Like grad school at Harvard? Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He is top notch. So here's what I'm viewing. I'm viewing like alumni parties at Colorado. And like Brad's in the library like with the smart people drinking a brown liquor. And Bakhtiari is at the frat party going nuts. And Mason's like going back and forth, like trying to like hang out with both crowds, but not exactly sure where he fits. But like he can fit with both.
He's the amoeba everywhere.
But like he wants to be with the smart people, but then he wants to be partying with the crazy people.
Exactly.
And like Brad Jones and Bakhtiari maybe look at each other and like they acknowledge that maybe they once played together, but they're like, one's the partier, one's the smart guy.
Exactly.
If I'm right, I'm right. No big deal.
That feels right. Yeah. That feels right.
Doesn't it? Love the Colorado alum. Thank you for hooking that up, Mason. Great to hear from former teammates of yours and, guys who can tell Packers stories. Like, that we don't want to hear that.
The fan tackle story was great.
That one was so much better than the 2014.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
that was, I feel like that's got to be a football player's dream. Like, baseball players do it.
That he's bought his artwork.
He's bought his paintings.
Right, like, so good.
Like I said, that is so Brad Jones.
All right, let's get these guys to break.
Yes. All right. What are your thoughts? We're entering the fourth quarter. It's like we talk about all September, all October. This is not the Green Bay Packers team we need. We don't need however they're doing on October 5th. Well, it's December now. We kind of need the Packers to start being the Packers if we want them to make a run into the playoffs. So how are you grading the Green Bay Packers right now? Have your expectations changed in any way from August and September until now, December 10th? Is Jordan Love meeting, passing, failing your expectations as a Green Bay Packers fan? We're going to get into that. We're going to talk some Bucks Magic NBA Cup and Willy Adames comments, Badger basketball playing a big one tonight as well. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis. Tommy's on the other side. Thank you again to Brad Jones. It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.